When, however, the way opened for me and I was allowed to leave the order after my vows were annulled, I discovered, as we all have to discover, that the open, sunny paths down which we seem pressed to venture have bogs of despair and morasses of doubt, as well as vistas of promise. At least, I felt then, that I was moving, not stagnating, as life seemed to have become in the order. But moving where? Often I wearied myself with conjecture. I pleaded and prayed for light, yet the full consummation of its glory always eluded me. In my latter years I found a silent awareness in meditation, a new resolving of self with self, and a resulting confidence to speak out concerning this search to others. In the few retreats for the Church's fellowship which I led, the exercise and discipline of preparation, and many hours were spent in this, were real spiritual gain for me. If I was blessed enough to have been able to impart, even a few flashes of insight that I had gained in these mental and spiritual gropings, then a star of hope was kindled on my own way. Now that I have left behind the dark veils which blind the spiritual insight during one's earthly pilgrimage, I find that I am still repeating the pattern, only from another angle. No longer do I doubt as once I did. Now I know. Yet, with all honesty, I have to admit that reality appears, at times, too wonderful even for my growing and expanding consciousness. Do I dream, I ask myself, and shall I, one morning, awake? Page 142. It might surprise you to learn that this reaction is a common one amongst the pilgrims I have met. The mind, you see, is only slowly, very slowly, opening to its vast potential. The veils of matter which now, to us, are represented by a loss in frequency of vibration have, so recently, been dissolved that we can and do proceed only into each successive stage with deepening understanding and a widening of conscious awareness. To put this idea into the language and metaphor of the earth world, it is as if each Cinderella had, inexplicably, become a princess. You will want to know more of my occupations, living arrangements, and I will do my best to explain simply, so that you and those who read, may comprehend, at least in part, some of the spiritual satisfactions which are so much integrated into one's journey onwards. I have a new home. I share a beautiful estate with others of the group. This place has wide sloping grasslands, trees and flowers of the most exquisite beauty and avenues of light. I have no other words for this, for meditation and contemplation. As we here are closer in vibration to the spiritual worlds, the echoes of the music of the spheres along these avenues becomes a glory sweeping our thoughts and aspirations into contemplation of the mystery of divinity and eternal life. We are free, of course, to follow our own pursuits. There are no college rules or compulsory attendances, but I, for one, find myself at the halls of learning almost continually. Again, you notice, I repeat the pattern, that avid desire for spiritual knowledge, which I now realize characterized all my excursions into different experiences on earth, and which I now comprehend, albeit vaguely, as having been the focus of those personalities with which I have returned to incarnation. This avidity may not be an asset. I can travel in the mind, and this I often do. I have visited countries of the world which I did not know. I have seen much and learned much. I return often to familiar scenes. I attend some meetings and meditation groups and sometimes contact the friends and companions I had loved on earth. I do not find it an easy matter to speak through a medium. As you appreciate, I have the conviction that there is no necessity for this. On this level of thought, telepathy is developed to a greater potential than was practiced on earth. By means of thought transference, I endeavor to reach the minds of old and dear friends still in physical existence. Sometimes I am happy to think that my efforts meet with a certain response. At others, the veil of illusion, even in those who should know better, interferes with reception and the contact is faulty, or is even rejected. But this will be so whilst those on earth still cling to the theory of separativeness. That which I am learning here, in this wider state of consciousness, is a joyous apprehension of the vast wonder of the unity of creative mind in which all, every atom, every soul, fragment, every group soul, every creative thought, is one. 10th December. This will be my last script for the book. If there is a message in these writings, it is the simple statement that all is unity and that unity is light. That statement may be interpreted symbolically by my readers as referring to the light of wisdom, of knowledge, of understanding of the unity of the life in all things. But a difficult point I would try to make clear is that, in this further phase of our existence on this plane, the reference to light is to be interpreted literally. We are progressing into light and yet more light. To us now, references to the golden throne of God, which formed part of our religious instruction on earth, now reveal definite hidden truths. The utmost of such light is beyond our comprehension, which is still limited, or even our highest aspirations. Light here is literally the substance and matter of our thought life. Thus, as our thoughts become attuned to the vibration of creative divinity, so the substance of our bodies changes, becoming less dense and reflecting more light. We carry our own light. The greater therefore the selflessness and illumination of our minds and the more positive our response to the higher frequency of vibration, the purer and brighter is the light transmitted by us. We spoke of the group soul. Thus, as I begin to comprehend now, the purer and stronger the light from each unit soul of the group, the greater the advancement of the group soul itself towards ultimate bliss of union, towards that ineffable light which will ever be the mystery and wonder of divinity. Yet each unit must be proved, that is, its light must be subjected to the test of veils of density in other spheres of action. So many units return again and again to the nothingness of dense matter, bravely asserting the lasting reality of their illumination. So often such units, clothed in their passing personalities, fall into ignorance, becoming subject to materialistic concepts. Some are blessed on their journeys by flashes into the light, and in rare cases, the light gained in these spiritual worlds holds steady, shining through the fleshly masks to bless and encourage their fellow travelers in the darkness of supposed separativeness. Light shines from the eyes of these advanced egos, and is reflected in the magnetic fields which surround their dense bodies. Perhaps my greatest regret now is the realization that, whilst I was seeking and searching mentally, psychically and occultly to discover that breakthrough to spirit for which I longed, the light of the unity with all things, all creatures, all beings, all hosts, all powers dwelt within me in ineffable glory. I am the light of the world means just that. Jesus, the Master, reflected that light pure and untrammeled during his dwelling in the density of crude matter. The light dwells in all of us as a shining effulgence, the light of oneness with all spirit, the blessed awareness and acknowledgement of unity with all creation from the lesser to the higher orders, even to the throne of grace itself. Let your light so shine before men, is essentially a fact here where each is revealed by his light. May it be true then, of those who read these words on earth. May the light of awareness of divine unity shine through the elusive and temporal veils of assumed personalities, so that, in preparation for this further experience, they may indeed be known by their light. God bless you all. December 1967, Sussex.